Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7 read, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.'" Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today we're continuing our discussion of theology proper, or the study of God himself. And we are looking at two verses that come to us from Exodus chapter 34. It's verses 6 and 7, which I have just now read. These were the words that the Lord himself spoke to Moses when Moses requested to see his glory. And God revealed that glory by describing himself. Last week, we talked about that very first part of the description, the Lord, which is Yahweh, and what that means. And today, we're moving on, but very slowly, because he says, the Lord, a God. And then he goes on with his description. I want to take some time just to discuss what is meant when he says a God. Now, it's interesting because we may assume we know what that means, and we sort of do. In our day and age, most of the world, by a slight majority, is monotheistic. That means most people in this world believe that there is one God. That is true today, specifically because of the Abrahamic religions, we would call them, which would be Judaism and Christianity, which developed out of that, as well as Islam, which developed out of that. Those are all monotheistic. They trace their way back to Abraham. But in Abraham's day, and in the context, really, of the entire Old Testament, monotheism was almost non-existent. It's hard even to imagine that. But to live in a world where almost no one in the entire world believed that there were less than two gods, at least, that everyone was polytheists. There was a belief in many, many gods, different varieties of gods. So people certainly believed in God and in the supernatural, but almost no one in the entire world believed that there was only one God. And yet that is the viewpoint of the Bible. That is the truth. That's what we see in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it's interesting, since the Old Testament came to man through man, but by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but in a human context where there was rampant polytheism, for that reason, God was willing to speak of many gods in the Old Testament in what we will call a polemical way. And polemical, we're just talking about a way that has to do with debating others. Others who have a wrong viewpoint or a different viewpoint, when we are debating them, it is polemical. The Old Testament is debating the whole polytheistic world. The Old Testament is monotheistic. It believes in one God, but that is not the norm. And therefore, polemically, when you're reading the Old Testament, there are, it's somewhat rare, but on rare occasion, there are descriptions given, or really just statements that are made in reference to the gods of the nations. For example, when we even read Exodus 20, giving the Ten Commandments in the third verse, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me." That "before me" could mean besides me or before me. And likely, the meaning of that very first of the Ten Commandments is polemically taking into view the other gods of the nations, and sort of assuming, not at all believing that there are other gods, we'll get into that, but assuming the viewpoint of the nations. Okay, so they say there are other gods, and Yahweh is saying, you shall have none of those other gods, so-called gods, as the New Testament would say, you shall have none of those other so-called gods before me or besides me. In other words, you are to be monotheistic. You are to believe in and worship me alone. It's really clear in some parts of the Old Testament, this monotheism. Isaiah 44, 6, God simply says, besides me, there is no God. So can't be more plain or simple than that. But again, like I said, there are places in the Old Testament where the gods are referenced, just polemically, not because they are true. Maybe the very best example of this polemical reference to other gods is given when Elijah is having his showdown with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And he says in 1 Kings 18:27 to his opponents, polemically, he says, "Cry aloud, for he," that's their god Baal, "he is a god." So there's that statement he's making. He is a god. Not that he actually believes that. Again, it's polemical. "For he is a god." Either he's musing, or he's relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. So there is clearly a mocking tone there. That is how you are to understand really all the Old Testament references to gods, to Baal, to any of the gods of the nation. Sometimes statements are made which almost seem like they are assuming that these other gods exist, but it's very much like Elijah. It's doing so because of the context. It's doing so for the sake of argument, but the Old Testament only believes in one true God. What's interesting is when you move into the New Testament, there's something added. So this view that there is only one true God leads us to the question, well, if there's only one true God, what are we to make of all the gods that are worshipped by the nations? And that's true today as well. Islam worships Allah. There are other gods worshipped by other people. And even within Christianity, there are different gods worshipped. The God of Mormonism is a very different God than the God of Orthodox Christianity. So what are we to make of these other gods then and now? Like I said, partly, we can just say in the most simple way, there are no other gods. That is what it means to be a monotheist. It is to believe there is mono, one, theos, God. There is one God, only one true God. So whatever these other gods are, really it comes down to two possibilities. Number one, the other gods are what the New Testament calls so-called gods, meaning they're nothing. They are nothing. They are imaginations. They are invented. In fact, new gods are invented all the time. Anytime there is a new cult that develops within or outside of Christianity that has some kind of a deity, that is a new god that's developed. And where does that come from? Most of the time, just out of someone's head. The god of the prosperity gospel, for example, that is a new god. Someone just made that up. A collection of people just made that up. He is not presented to us in the scriptures. The New Testament, though, adds another comment on this idea of how are we to think of these other so-called gods. Number one, they're obviously not God, and so most of them are just plain made up. However, we read this in 1 Corinthians 10. Paul says, "What do I imply then? That food offered to idols," which represent false gods, "is anything, or that an idol is anything?" No. So an idol's nothing. Other gods, nothing. No. "I imply that what pagans sacrifice, they offer to demons and not to God. I do not want you to be participants with demons." So here's there's an addition here. Some gods are just entirely made up out of nothing. But then there are other gods which have some basis in demons. I don't know the specifics of how that works, but what Paul is saying is that there are pagans worshiping idols, which represent false gods, and those gods weren't just made up out of nothing, but rather somehow developed on the basis of an actual demon. And therefore, the worship of that god is truly the worship of that demon. This was suggested even in the Old Testament. For example, in Psalm 106, verse 37, it says, "They sacrifice their sons and their daughters to the demons." So, are there any other gods? No. No, there are not. There are either those which are simply invented in men's minds, and in some cases, those made-up gods are developed on the basis of a demon, and therefore, to worship that god is to worship a demon. This means, positively, that there is only one God. When the Lord declares the Lord a God, he's referencing himself as the only God, the one creator, the one deity. No one shares that status with God. We find this in 1 Corinthians 8. We read this, "Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. That simply reinforces what we've already said. There are so-called gods that have been invented or are built on the basis of demons, but for us, we know there is only one true God, because demons are created, and imaginations are not even created, they don't exist. And so if we're really referring to God, there is only one God, the Father. Tozer has a really helpful comment here on in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, talking about the difference between God and everything else. He says, "Forever God stands apart, in light unapproachable. He is as high above an archangel as above a caterpillar. For the gulf that separates the archangel from the caterpillar is but finite, while the gulf between God and the archangel," and this would be true of the demons who take on godlike status, "that gulf between them is infinite. The caterpillar and the archangel, though far removed from each other in the scale of created things, are nevertheless one in that they are alike created. They both belong in the category of that which is not God, and are separated from God by infinitude itself." That is so helpful for us to remember, that God is different and other, even in his being. We somewhat touched on that last week. And when we think of God's holiness, his otherness, it reminds us of this fact that there are two categories of beings in the universe, in all that is. There is God, uncreated, and then there is that which is not God. And that is absolutely everything else. So whether we take a demon and worship it, as many pagans have done, and as is done in the world today, or invent a god out of our own head, the fact is all those things still are under the status of that which is not God. Those are created. And then there is God, and he is in a category all by himself. And therefore, we ought to bear that in our mind when we deal with him, pray to him, worship him. We are worshiping one who is God, and he is the only one in that category. It might be in the past that you've been confused about how to think about these other so-called gods. Is Allah the same as God or the Mormon God? That might be the case. Whatever the case in the past might have been, may God help us all now to think this way.